This is a download from BFM 89.9. The Business Station.
Thanks for staying with us here on The Morning Run. You're with Lynn Mark, Sharat Abdullah and Wang Xiaoning. The feud between Japan and South Korea seems to have deepened. Japan has restricted chemical exports and transfers of manufacturing technologies to Korea. There's been little progress to bridge the divide following a meeting on Friday.
And immediately after that meeting, Lynn, Japan Ministry of Economy, Trade and Industry, they've disputed a Korean official statement that Seoul had asked Japan to withdraw the restriction. So Tokyo export curb on curbs on the semiconductor materials implemented last week cited a breach of trust by South Korea and improper incident regarding handling of material it ships to Korea.
And Japan has restricted exports of materials to South Korea that are vital to make memory chips, high-spec TV screens and smartphone displays and also folding models. With Japan so far refusing to negotiate, the news is bleak for top market players like Samsung Electronics and SK Hynix, which also supplies to tech titans Apple, Huawei and Amazon and together account for almost two-thirds of the world's chip market.
So their row is expected to threaten global supplies of microchips and smartphone displays and may hike prices for memory chips and could even delay the rollout of 5G technology. So to find out about the implications of this trade dispute, we have with us today Shihoko Goto, Senior Associate for Northeast Asia at the Wilson Center in the US. Thank you for joining us, Shihoko. Good morning. What would you say led to this flare-up between Japan and South Korea?
This is about the ongoing tensions which has escalated into a trade dispute between the two sides. It is accumulation of tension over historical memory, essentially. Japan and South Korea have not seen eye to eye on the legacy of World War II. And so that would be the easiest way to describe it. Japan's argument is to say that Korea and Japan have signed an agreement to drop, to have a understanding, a pact that ended grievances of World War II, that the 1965 agreement not only normalized relations between Seoul and Tokyo, but it also offered compensation from Tokyo to Korea, and that this should be adhered to by the Koreans as a way forward and not simply look back to the past.
And so how has this recent dispute affected the trade balance in the region?
The latest approach that Japan has taken to break this impasse between Korea and Japan is to impose tariffs on three critical materials that Japan makes that are really critical for the semiconductor industry. This has impacted Korean manufacturers, especially companies like Samsung. And Japan is saying that one of the reasons why it's imposing export control of these materials is to say that Korea has actually deliberately allowed this technology to be available to North Korea as well. Therefore, if Japan were to continue export of these critical materials, then it would breach Japan's own national security. The Koreans are really disputing this argument as well. Now, what is the spillover effect of this? The major Korean companies that produce semiconductors and the content which depend on it, especially smartphone manufacturers, are getting hit.
Shihoku, how have the allied nations of South Korea and Japan actually responded to this dispute, more specifically the U.S.?
It is a long-standing issue. It really is a reflection of the growing rivalry between the two countries. It was clear a decade ago that Japan was the bigger economy of South Korea. But this kind of economic situation, although Japan is still the bigger economy, it is the relationship isn't as clear as it had been, the rivalry. And so there's a lot of opportunity for grievances to be aired and for political points to be scored as well. The United States has traditionally taken a more less engaged stance. This is a dispute between the two countries that the United States cannot actively take part in, But under the Obama administration, there was more encouragement from the United States for the two sides to actually talk, and that the United States would actually facilitate opportunities to encourage dialogue. That is not necessarily the case with the Trump administration, and I believe that Washington will continue to take not take sides and be really more of an observer to the situation at this moment.
And what about the other global giants? So how has this affected China? Is it good news for them?
So because Japan and Korea represent such strong economies in the region, and they are also critical to the stability of the Asia-Pacific region as well, any division between the two sides actually enhances China's strength. So China's strategy is usually to divide and conquer. You see it how it approaches territorial disputes or other issues, economic as well as security-wise as well, that it does well when it splits countries. This is certainly the divide between South Korea and Japan is certainly to the advantage of China, because the trilateral alliance between the United States, Japan, and Korea is weakening, and that, you know, if they were together and stood firm, that would be a far greater threat to China than they are, you know, divided and therefore weakened.
Thank you so much, Shihoko. And that was Shihoko Goto, Senior Associate for Northeast Asia at the Wilson Center in the US, weighing in on how the Japan-Korea trade dispute may in the end benefit China. BFM 89.9.
Thank you for listening to this podcast. To find more great interviews, go to bfm.my or find us on iTunes. BFM 89.9, the business station.